Matthew chapter 22. And verse 36. So this is pretty cool. I actually tagged him in with Josh. I'm glad I go first because I wouldn't want to follow him. And I'll say this too. Josh, it's unfair because he got less time to prepare. I didn't get a lot of time to prepare. He got zero time. So it's really Greg and Josh, raw and unplugged, which is cool. It's fun. All right, Matthew 22:36. It says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments." You know, that's one that we all know and love, but sometimes it's pretty challenging, right? Sometimes it kind of bounces off, right? And what does that really mean? What is that all about? And how does that work? And so that's one of the things I wrestle with a lot. And so I wanted to just share some of the things that it means to me, some of the ways that I wrestle with it, and maybe hopefully it will help you. One of the first questions that kind of always comes to my mind, because I'm hard-hearted guys, I go, why? You know, why I love the Lord my God with all my heart and soul and mind and strength? It's not as if he needs it, right? It's not as if it's going to help him in some way to be a better God or, you know, to do a better job as God. You know, what does it matter, you know, what my heart is like towards him? How does that work? And so with why, it really kind of always comes back to, you know, because he first loved us, because he first loved me. And I like to think about the ways that he actually does that or did that helped me kind of connect with it. Because it's, once again, I'm a hard-hearted person. I tend to get alienated from that. But to get back in touch with it, I think about some of the, you know, the snippets from the scriptures that he made himself nothing. You know, that he took the very nature of a servant. That in Acts, where it says he's given us life and breath and everything else. Where he gave us his one and only son. He held nothing back from us. You know, speaking the voice of experience here, there is nothing more difficult or painful to give than a child, one of your children. It says elsewhere that he's given us all things. You know, there's nothing God has held back from us, right? He's given us his entire heart, his entire being, his entire heart and love and passion, including suffering. You know, the Bible teaches that God suffers when we suffer. He's there with us daily. You know, God's all in with us, with me, with you. He's all in. He's completely sold out for a relationship with us. And it's easy to forget that, right? It's easy to lose track of that or to get, you know, your heart gets hard and you just, it bounces off, right? But we have to reconnect with that. So why does God want us to love him back? Because it's got to be a relationship. It doesn't work, you know, if you have a child whom you love and, you know, let's say they're a teen and they're, you know, they're going off to, you know, prodigal son, sow their wild oats or whatever it is they're doing. That's a dysfunctional relationship, right? I mean, you can pour your love and your life and your do everything for them, but if they're not getting it, if they're not reciprocating, then it doesn't work. It doesn't benefit them. It doesn't help them that you love them. Maybe someday it will, but at that point in time, it doesn't. And we're just like that, right? We're prodigal sons and daughters. That's what we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And we continually do that. I mean, if you read the history, you know, of Israel in the Old Testament, it was just one sad thing after another where they would, you know, get connected to God and be close to him and amazing, incredible things would happen. And then they would get complacent and hard-hearted and distant and turn their backs and wander away. And that's just a mirror of us, right? Of our life, of what happens with us over and over. And so I want to try to reconnect us and help us. You know, I just want to use this opportunity to speak what God, I think, would speak to us if he were standing here today. He wants a close relationship. He wants us to be all in with him. It just doesn't make sense that the most powerful being in the universe, outside the universe, above all, most, you know, all powerful, all knowing, all wisdom, all love, all grace, wants to be close to me, and I reject him. Or I don't have time for him because I'm too busy. Or maybe it's something deeper. Maybe it's I'm afraid. Maybe I'm too guilty. You know, maybe I feel like I've gone too far, that I can never get back. You know, maybe I'm just selfish. Or maybe I just am broken and dysfunctional in my own heart or own mind. You know, what is it that's keeping me from reciprocating, to connecting with God? He wants it so bad. You know, I've got to want it too. I've got to overcome. I've got to ignore the negative things that try to hold me back or hinder me from getting to him. And I've got to go after it because that's what I'm made for. That's why I'm here. That's the journey that I'm on, is to connect with him. And obviously there, we've already talked about it. It's a spiritual warfare, right? There's a battle going on all around us. And we're the rope in the tug of war. We've got to see that. We've got to fight. We've got to continually try to find ways to get our hearts softened and to see life the way God sees life, to see ourselves the way God sees us. You know, practically speaking, what does it look like to me to think about how do I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength? You know, there's a lot of simple things, right? But I think about it as devoting myself to him and the things he cares about, right? That getting my mind and my heart aligned with his. Giving myself to him, my heart, my soul, my life, you know, my all, the song that we sing often. Putting him first, right? Above all else, above everything. As first priority, giving him my very best. I think of the Facing the Giants, the movie, right, where it's about a little football team and a little high school, you know, the perennial losers. And the coach says, if you'll give God your very best, he can do amazing things. And he did in that movie. It was an incredible story. And that always motivates me, always makes me think about, am I giving God my very best? That means even beyond what I think I can give, right? Even beyond what I in my day-to-day life can even imagine that I can do. It means pouring myself out to him and for him. And it means serving him by fill in the blank, right? I mean, there's so many things. Serving God by serving others. Serving God by taking care of the sick. Serving God by writing letters to those in prison. Right, serving God by serving, by giving, by sacrificing, by loving. I think about Jesus, right? Because Jesus both modeled loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he also taught about it, right? So if you look at the things he did and the things he said, those are really kind of road markers, right, on the map of how to do this, practically speaking. And, you know, some of the simple things. Early in the morning, while it was still dark, you know, he often went to lonely places and he prayed. And I think that's really where it all starts, right? We can't stay connected to God unless we fight and work and sacrifice to stay connected to God. And sometimes it feels like, I'm going to do all this, but I don't feel connected. But you know what? If you're not working and sacrificing and trying, you may never feel connected. To me, that's got to be part of what we think is, I'm going to do, that's what love is anyway, right? Love is you do what's best for the other person in the relationship, regardless of whether you feel like it, whether it hurts, you know, or not, whether it makes you feel good or not. It's not about that, right? It's about you pouring yourself into the other person and doing all the things that you know a person who loved that person would do. It's the same way, right, in a relationship with God. right? It's sacrificing and giving and loving and serving and doing all the things, even if your heart's not there, because your heart can get there. You know, we at my company, we use the term fake it till you make it. We don't mean that as a negative, you know, act like you're something that you're not. What we mean is sometimes you feel afraid or insecure or you know, preoccupied or whatever, but if you just put yourself out there and start doing it, the job, whatever it is you're trying to do, you'll be amazed at how much that sparks and creates within you the passion, the desire, the abilities, right, that you didn't even know were there because you just did it. You just went after it. You know, Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, right? I mean, that's really key here, is God wants us to go to him for everything, every day. And it's hard to do that, but you know what? It's the key to really a relationship where if we're asking and we're seeking and we're knocking, it's amazing what God is waiting, just waiting to provide, to deliver, if we would just do that. I think about the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. What are those all about? Those are all about giving up something that you value for something far more valuable, right? It's the, you know, sell everything you have and go buy that field, right? Or buy the pearl. It's our mindset. We get stuck in this idea that things matter that don't really, in the grand scheme of things, matter. I mean, you know, one of the things that amazes me is, you know, when our son died 21 years ago now, how much it changed the perspective of not only us, but everybody around us. We're like, you know, here's what, it kind of boils your life down to a very simple set of things that even the day before you didn't realize, right? It boils it all down to, it's about people, it's about love, it's about, you know, each other, it's about relationship. I think of the parable of the sower, right? That's about preparing our hearts for God. It's about keeping the weeds out of our garden in our relationship with God. I think of the mustard seed parable. You know, that's, in my mind, really about, it doesn't matter where you are, start with where you are and grow in your relationship with God and never give up, and you'll be amazed at what he can do in your life. So the things God cares about, the top three in my mind, people, right? Is there anything else? I can't come up with any others. I mean, that's really the ultimate thing. I mean, he cares about the church, but what is the church? People. He cares about the poor and the orphans and the widows and the lame and the needy, all of those. It's all about people. You know, how can we be like God and be connected with him? We can care about the things he cares about, right? I think about, you know, ways that, practically speaking, ways that we can serve. You know, I think about Acts 2:42, right, where it says where the believers were all together and shared with each other and were devoted to one another and devoted to prayer and devoted to the word. And so that's where we need to be, and we need to fight off the distractions and the other things that compete for our attention and our hearts and our minds. I think we need to look at the example not only of Jesus but of Paul, right? Where Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." You know, for just what Mike was talking about in Romans, you know, where he said he died for all, and therefore all died, right? That we lay down our lives because of the love that God has given us. I think about here, and this specifically in this congregation, you know, which is, guess what, we're people, and God is putting, you know, he picked the exact times and places. And I think about the scripture in Haggai 1 where God basically says, you know, you're living in your fine paneled homes while my house lies in ruins. Now that's pretty firm, but I don't mean to imply that's where we are as a congregation, but I do think we can be headed that direction if we're not devoting ourselves to these people, right? To this, to what we're doing here. And I even think about, you know, what does it say to people outside? How devoted do they think we are to God? You know, if we're not really involved, we're not really, you know, sacrificing, we're not really giving, you know, we're just kind of off doing our own thing. We come on Sundays, we're friendly, we love each other, but we're not really committed to doing this. We're not committed, we're not devoted to each other, right? I think we have to be careful about that. We have to search our hearts about it. You know, how do we change that? I think we need to be present. You know, be here at not just on Sundays, but at, you know, trunk or treat or at parties or at other events. I mean, let's participate. I think we can look for the needs of the people around us, right? I mean, if you see somebody at service and they're not talking to anybody or they look like they've never been here, make the effort, sacrifice, give of yourself to go talk to them. If you see somebody who looks like they're hurting or they're, you know, just not having a good day, go talk to them. Ask them what you can pray about for them, right? Seek to connect with people. Let's get out of ourselves and really try to love God by loving people. There are so many areas that, you know, that this can really kind of trigger our love for God by our love for each other. And I don't want to step on Josh because he's going to be talking more in depth, but I think there's so many areas here, so many needs. You know, the kids ministry, the teen ministry, life groups. You know, there are ushers who serve and greeters who serve every Sunday. The sound team, they're here all the time, not just on Sundays. They're here, you know, during the week. The music ministry, those people, they pour out their hearts, they give. There are people who are here taking care of the building. You know, Jeff Lanier was out the other night, you know, basically fixing the place where the dumpster is, you know, just repairing it. You know, just events, helping with planning or activities or events. I mean, I think all those things, if we're devoting our hearts to God, then we're devoting our hearts to what God cares about. I think we would see that, right? We would see that more and more as a family. And so I want to call us, I want to call me to, let's do that. But let's not do all these cool things at church because it's cool or we like the community. Let's love God and devote ourselves to Him and respond to His love. And as a result of that, let's serve each other. Let's serve the community. Let's make a difference here in this place. Amen.
All right, thanks, Greg. So if the greatest commandment, the first and greatest commandment, isn't tough enough, Jesus didn't stop, did he? In Matthew 22 that Greg just read, he talks about love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets, and I love this phrasing, hangs on these two things. Confession. Today's the day of confession for me, all right? This is hard. This is hard for me. Greg mentioned that. It's a challenge. It's not easy. These two things, it's like you can take that and just focus in on those two commands for a lifetime. And we're still never going to get it completely right. It's a challenge. So one of my confessions is this, because I'm going to be talking about loving your neighbor as yourself. I don't really like some of my neighbors. If I'm being honest, I don't like them. And it's hard to love somebody if you don't even like them. Now, when Dylan was a young child, I loved Dylan, but I didn't like Dylan. I'm just being honest. He didn't like me either. He just wanted mama the whole time. So this is kind of, I loved him but didn't like him. This one is like, I don't even like him, so how am I going to love him, right, in terms of my neighbors? So just to kind of give you a glimpse into my neighbors real quick. I want to describe a few of them to you. The first one is Miss Speed Racer. Jan was over the other day and Speed Racer, and I wanted to call her Speed Demon, but Megan said, just call her Racer, that's nicer. So, but she's like a demon, for real. She is mean, and she flies through that cul-de-sac. We live in a cul-de-sac, not even on the main stretch. I mean, but she's at the end of the cul-de-sac, and she must have something in the oven that she has to get to every day and flies through there. I'm like, and she has two kids like my son's age. I'm like, don't you know our kids play out in the, you know, in the street? And she, whoa, in her big old Chevy. I mean, it drives me absolutely bonkers. So that's one of them. Neighbors that live directly across the street from us own a used car lot. Now, I went over to Greg and Vicky's old house, and I was like, wow, y'all have a lot of cars. But the good thing about your house is y'all have a long driveway, and you fit every car, the six of them that you had over there, and they're at least they're in the driveway, right? These guys, their driveways aren't that long. So they have a couple of cars in their driveway. Their garage is full of junk like mine, so I can't really judge too much. Don't pull a car in there. But then they park on the sides of the street. And lo and behold, don't you know, they park right where I have to back out every single day. And for the longest of times, one of the cars they parked there didn't even run. So it was stuck. I mean, a flat tire, rusted out, probably didn't even have an engine in it, but it was on blocks. No, I don't know. But I mean, it's like, that's kind of my neighbor right across the street. And actually this morning as I walked to my car, I took a picture, but I didn't put it on there because, but if you want to see what it looks like, I was like, there's that red Ford Mustang part right next to it's blue. This was a blue one this time. Parked right there, where half the time you can't pull out. You have to like go the opposite way and go around the cul-de-sac because you can't get around these cars. I could go on and on, but I only have 15 minutes total, so I'm going to kind of keep moving. But you kind of get the drift, don't you? Now, I understand that Jesus isn't only limiting the whole love your neighbor as yourself to your actual neighbors, right? I mean, there's that could, a neighbor in any form or fashion, not necessarily the person who lives right next door to you, in any area of our life, we can think about people like that and have people in our minds that, okay, I really need to love this person right here. But for me, I'm just trying to love those that are literally right next to me. So I'm going to start there and see how I can move on from that. All right, so that's kind of where I am, just as a confession. I want to talk for a few minutes about some challenges that we face. Challenges that we face when it comes to loving our neighbors. We're busy, aren't we? We are constantly on the move, constantly on the go. We're going to work. We get off work, we come right back home. We got to pick up the kids, get them fed, try to get some homework done. And then we got to get back in the car and go to the ball field by 5:30 because Coach Allen wants our kids there an hour and a half before a game starts. And Allen's right there. Then we're going to dinner with friends, and then we got to, you know, it's like we are constantly on the go. Just this past week, some of the kids that kind of hang out and play in our neighborhood, we were hopping in the car, we were on the way somewhere, and they go, "Where are you guys going again? You guys are always leaving. Can't y'all play?" You know. But we are. I mean, it's like we got to get home. They got to get their homework done. And then we've got to be somewhere probably by 5 or 5:30 every day. That's our life. And then we get home. Dylan's always asking, is it going to be dark when we get home? I'm like, yep, it's going to be dark. And in a couple of weeks, it's really going to be dark even before we leave. But so here's the deal. If I'm not careful, I can find myself hanging around, serving. Now, I love what Greg talked about. I don't want to take anything away from loving the church, right, and serving the church and serving within the church. But if I'm not careful, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves hanging around serving saved people while all the while I don't even know who my neighbor is. True confession, I don't know some of their names. We've been in that house 12 years, and I don't know some of my neighbor's names. There are some times where I would go and like put it a notes in my phone when I find out their name so I could try to remember it. I know their kids' names, but I don't know their names. because I can get so busy doing stuff that I actually don't love my actual neighbor. I don't know if you can relate. What's it going to take? It's going to take a slowing down. Slowing down. Being intentional about getting to know them. It's hard to love someone that you don't know. If I don't know their name, I don't know what's their background. It's hard to really love somebody that you don't know. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort in order to love our neighbors. Confession number two. Now, there was one neighbor, I'll say this. There's one neighbor that we loved and loved. They were some of our best friends, the Aliprandos, Vic and Lori and Dominic. And they were across the street, not the car lot, but the next door. And there's another story. I could go on about the other people that before the car lot who was there. We had a policeman at our... Anyway, I'm not going to go there. But they, like, we loved them, and they had us over for dinner. We had them over. We were a part of life. We did life together. But then they moved, right? So here's another confession. We haven't invited nor had any of our neighbors over for dinner. We haven't. Now, here's the thing. God gives you children for a lot of different reasons. But I think, obviously, Jesus loved children and said, look, you guys need to be like the children. And our kids, honestly, have led the way for us, and because they're just the opposite of that. My confession, in terms of not having anybody over, they'll invite anybody over to our house, and they'll feed them, you know, and if they don't invite somebody over, they invite themselves over to that other person's house, kind of like Jesus, you know, hey, can I come on in? What you got to eat? Let's go. That's how they are, and they'll invite themselves over. They see a garage door open, they know somebody's home, and Dylan is going to go find out if he can go in their house and play. So, but we have neighborhood kids over all the time. And really what I want to do is learn from my boys, imitate their heart. They easily make friends. I mean, it's amazing to me. They can go anywhere and just become best friends, and how I'm so standoffish and so hesitant to do anything, to talk, to put myself out there. Now, I don't... The neighbor, the used cars lot across the street, I've been a pretty good neighbor to them, just a couple things. Not that I'm just completely just like a tool to everybody, you know. One time the guy's lawnmower wasn't working, and I saw his lawnmower, and I'm not going to fix your lawnmower, but I can let you borrow my lawnmower. So I let him borrow my lawnmower, right? Another time that was like almost a hurricane coming through, not necessarily a hurricane, but a tornado. I mean, it was strong winds were coming through. And they, for some reason, had decided to clean out their garage that day. And so everything was in the yard, and it was starting to rain. And it was dark, and they were working. They had everybody out there working, all those that drive those cars. They had them all working. And I went inside my house, and I looked out my window, and I said, you know, Megan, I got to go out there and help these guys. They're not going to get this stuff in before it just gets ruined. So I did go over and help them. So I'm trying to love them. You know, it's a process, but I've got a long way to go. I'll say that. But Megan and I, we've talked about this, because this is something that's kind of been on our hearts lately, and we want to change, and we want to follow our boys' lead. What we're going to do is we're looking to organize a block party for our neighborhood. Sometime this fall, I don't know if it'll be Halloween or if it'll be sometime where we just do some chili, we do some hot dogs. We put some music on. We kind of invite all of our neighbors. Let's just have a dinner out here. Enjoy the fall weather. Just let the kids play. Just get to know each other. You know, that sort of thing. So pray for us, would you? We're working on that. We're working on that. I want to challenge you with something. Try to do something similar. And do this instead of. I'm guilty. Instead of inviting someone to church, invite someone over for dinner. Invite someone to go grab a coffee. Go to a movie. Hey, there's a girls thing going on. Hey, invite the girls. You know, hey, there's a guy's going to grab wings that night. Invite the guy to go with you, the husband to go with you. Try being their friend. Be their friend first. ask about them, get to know them, find out about their family, find out about their past, and then you know what'll happen. God's working. God will work. Which leads me kind of my second point here. Another challenge that we face, not only are we busy, but we're different. My neighborhood is diverse, which is great, but it's a challenge. Different backgrounds, different cultures, different languages, different interests, different stages of life, different food preferences. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to have these guys. I don't know what they like, you know? To be honest, I don't probably eat what they eat on a normal basis. So that's a challenge. That's a roadblock that gets in my way. But what we need to do is accept and embrace each other's differences. Don't look at it as a challenge, but it is a challenge, and that is what it is. But accept the differences and then embrace those differences and allow God to shape us and mold us and form us into who we need to be, right? I've got like 5 minutes. There's one passage in Galatians 5. I thought this was very interesting in verse 13. Write it down. Go back and read it a little bit more. It says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." And that's something we've been talking about really in general. It's like we've been called to be free, but don't use your freedom just to do whatever you want to do, right? It goes on to say, serve one another in love. In verse 14, it says, Paul's telling the Galatian church, the entire law is summed up in a single command, which I think is interesting that he says in a single command, when Jesus, not to take away from what Jesus said about, hey, what are the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Paul says to these guys, hey, the entire law is summed on this single command, love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that interesting? He uses that command. Goes on to say, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Because we're different, what tends to happen? You don't do something my way, you don't like this, I like that, you like that. We start going at each other. And I don't have time to talk about all the different ways, and especially in this political time, how we can bite and devour each other because of our differences. Here's the deal. You don't know, and Megan and I have made it very a conscious decision, you don't know who we're voting for in a couple weeks. Why? Because I know we're going to be back and forth. And look, you have freedom, right? But if we're going to love each other and accept each other for our differences and love our neighbors, look, we're different. But if you know how someone feels about something, you're going to treat them differently. That's just our nature. That's our sinful nature that he talked about there. Rather indulging in your sin, we like a fight. We have to accept each other's differences, embrace them. So going back to where I am kind of right now is my neighbors, actual neighbors. Personally, it's going to take me pushing through the uncomfortable. I have to push through the awkward when it comes to getting to know them. Push through my insecurities. What are they going to think? Are they going to say no? Are they going to say yes? Are they going to talk in their language that I don't understand about me? I don't know, you know? Then insecurities of, okay, my house. You come to my house, my front door has stinking water damage all up on the front, the whole whatever that's called. I'm so non, what? Frame. Thank you very much. The door frame. I've got water damage, wood rot. You walk in the front door, the little threshold thing. Thank you. Can I just give you all the mic and y'all finish this out real quick? You know, it's like that little piece is off, and it's just kind of like the wood is like not even real wood, you know what I'm saying? It's like that, and it's like all wavy and stuff. I'm just, that's what I struggle with that. what are they going to think? And they come over to my, and that's the other people who just remodeled their whole house. They changed everything around, and it looks amazing. And I come, I mean, our house, I mean, Megan does an awesome job with the upkeep and the design of our house. I mean, thank God for her. For more than just that, but you know what I'm saying. But those are some things I've got to push through. Because here's the deal. Sometimes, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Do you ever struggle with not knowing how to act or what to talk about with somebody else? And I call this kind of the weird factor. Like you're just weird around them. You don't know how to be normal. Especially, I mean, some of you that have kind of come into Cornerstone don't know all of our culture. But those of you that have been around know we can kind of be weird. Right? We don't know how to just be normal. And I struggle. Megan and I, we struggle with that weird syndrome, right? Like just, I don't know how to just be normal and have a normal conversation with people. But really what, I mean, God, again, gave us our children and doing the preschool thing and pick up, drop off. It's not like the elementary school carpool, you know, like you have to walk them in, then you hang out with them afterwards, and then they go to the playground, and then you're standing there with all these moms and dads, and you're like, what do I say? You know, what do I say? Okay, they don't go to church with me, so I don't know if I can talk to them, you know. I mean, that's just what I struggle with, that just being weird. And we say we got to stop being weird. Just be normal. Have normal conversations. Hey, do you want to go on a play date with our boy? Sure, let's go. You know, and we go on a play date with the kids, and they have a great time, and you get to know them, and there's no agenda. You know what I'm saying? There's not something hidden behind there that I'm trying to just love them. Be their friend. Be normal. See, Greg talked about people, people, people. See them as people, not projects. See them as people. That's been a game changer for us. I mean, I shared a couple weeks ago about impact and things that I've really been wrestling with. And I think that's been an area where I've just tried. I think we're kind of getting, I don't know, Greg and Alan and Erica, are we that weird? You know, kind of, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like it's been a game changer for us, is to see for people as people and not as a project, not with an agenda. And remind ourselves, look, we are a cool family. We like to do fun stuff, relax, act like it, just and allow God to work. However that is, right? And not even with an ulterior motive behind there of, well, hopefully they'll come to church. I mean, no. Just, and I want to brag on Megan and Heather Harrison, actually, for a minute. They've been taking a Zumba class at Lifetime Fitness. One of their instructors' name's Kat, and she's been going through a rough time. One of her sessions, she was kind of getting started, and she was very emotional. Her mom's been sick. And she asked during this time for good vibes, and good vibes is gym code for prayers, right? You can't say prayer, ask for prayers. I mean, that's just not politically correct in our gym environments. But she asked for good vibes for her mom. She's going through a rough time. They followed up with Kat the next week, asked how her mom was doing, and actually Megan went up to her and asked how her mom, Geraldine, she actually knew her, remembered her name. How's your mom, Geraldine, doing? And this woman, tears filled her eyes. She said, I can't believe you would come back and ask me how my mom's doing. And not only asked me, but you actually remembered her name and you really prayed for her? Blow away. Blow away. That means so much. Just be normal. Love people. Care for them. Think about them. How would I want to be treated? My mom is sick. I would want people to pray for me and ask me. Do the same. Do the same. Well, wouldn't you know, over the next couple of weeks, different messages were back and forth on Facebook, yada, yada, seeing each other in class. Can you please remind me of your church again? Hold on, where is it? And they put it in. Because, you know, sometimes you say we're at Cornerstone, they think it's 12 Stone, or they think it's Cross Point, or they think it's, you know. It's like, where is that place? It's not a coincidence, I don't think. I just want to encourage you this. I'm leaving you with this. Get out there. Live life. Be normal. Stop being weird. Right? Love people. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, whoever that is. Everything else hangs on those two things. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray.